When the Super Bowl halftime show was on, I was like, I feel like Nikki is somewhere crip walking up her ceiling. Like I told Lance, I was like, if we were on FaceTime right now, it would just be like, is the screen upside down? Is she? It just felt like Nikki is living right now. When all of them came out together, I was like, for Issa and you. I was like,
my kids were sitting there. Gabriel was falling asleep. OC was kind of just relaxing, playing this video game on my phone. And I was dancing all around the living room. And they were just like, whatever. We don't care.
It's like, I know she is getting her life. Just like if there was some, like if it was Cash Money or like there was a giant second line or which when they were crip walking, I'm like, all they need is an umbrella and somebody needs to have like a sash on. And that's the second line. But when it came out, just, it was just perfect. And like what they had on, they just, it's like, oh my God, this feels like Nikki. It was like, and it feels like Insecure. It's just like, this is so familiar and so Black. They did a great job with that. The attention to detail was so good.
I loved it. I loved it.
So good.
It's like West Coast represented.
Welcome to Rappin' Atlanta. I'm Mita Charisse.
And I'm Nikki.
And in this podcast, we have a frank, honest, and open conversation about the FX show Atlanta.
We have noticed that there are similar features in each show, and during our discussion, we offer our impressions on what those features are. There's a That's So Atlanta moment in each episode that most clearly and accurately depicts the spirit or quirk that is Atlanta and life in the American South.
Darius-isms highlight the special flavor the character Darius brings to the show because he is easily one of the most layered, complex, and compelling characters on television.
There always seems to be a mystical element or some strange thing that happens beyond all logical reason and sometimes scientific explanation. We've all experienced those kinds of moments.
And finally, the SGR moment is very plainly the moment in each show when shit got real and we are reminded that life is not a game and desperation has the power to motivate any and every possible action.
Today, we'll be discussing season 3, episode 2, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, directed by Hiro Murai, written by Janine Neighbors. We rejoin the crew in the midst of their European tour experiences. So let's kick it off.
All right, so we pick up where episode 1 leaves off. We know that Ern just had a terrible, horrible, no good, very very bad dream.
Very bad dream.
And then he wakes up. He's in a hotel room with some woman in a bed. You know, it's a very familiar activity having. It's something we've seen in previous episodes, except these confines are a lot more luxurious. He's no longer in Georgia. He's still very much the same Ern. Patton charged his phone. So he needed to plug in his phone as he's relieving himself. Phone's going off, going crazy. Did you see the text messages in that scene? There was one text message that was very much a Darius-ism. Darius goes, just ate a persimmon that tasted like an avocado. Or just ate a persimmon.
Persimmon, yeah.
Yeah, just ate a persimmon that tasted like an avocado. But Alfred needs $20,000 for what? And he's about to miss his flight.
I like all of the little hints or signifiers that, like you said, that they've come up. Like, things have changed. You know, they're not in a college dorm room. He's not in Van's apartment, you know, getting on her nerves. But he's still, like, slipping. He still, you know, didn't have his phone charged, obviously forgot or didn't know. I couldn't tell if Van surprised him, but like everybody seems, you know, kind of thrown off that she's there. He obviously hadn't made any arrangements for it, but then Alfred just casually asking for $20,000. It's like, oh yeah, y'all are in. y'all are in a different space. And somewhere, I forget exactly where in the episode, but they indicate that it's probably when he's talking to, I guess, like his tour contact, and he says like, yeah, we were here a year ago. And so I'm like, okay, a year ago must've been where the other season left off, because it was going to be their first time going overseas. So it's like, okay, you have fans out here. Like, you have a following, which is when we see why Al needs the 20K. It's like, yeah, things are different. You are just, you just literally throwing money away like it's nothing. So like, how well are they doing? Must be pretty well, but that still seemed kind of stupid. But yeah, you know, so they're in a different bracket, but Earn, in my opinion, is still kind of like not on top of it the way he should be.
Well, but then,
I mean, they're partying and stuff, but still, it's like, you still look like, I don't know, like a confused, he still dresses kind of like a confused 4-year-old. And I'm not like a materialistic, like, you need to have these kinds of, but the way he dresses isn't like someone that is adult and sure of themselves. And that has always irritated me.
Well, he just is who he is. I know, I don't fault him that. I'm not sure how he lost his underwear and his belt. I wouldn't have done that, but he gets out the door, he gets to the airport, he, you know, has to suffer that embarrassment. But, you know, on the way from the airport, he contacts Darius, who's just sitting out in the rain, high off of God knows what. Mm-hmm. And then
with his blonde hair.
With his blonde hair. You know, so he is like quickly taking care of business in that remote way, you know, that we can in this new day and age. And he's arranged a car for Darius. Driving around all day. When he goes and when he goes and talks to the production manager or whoever that was, he's verifying that all the equipment is there. He discovers that the laptop is missing, so he makes arrangements
to
get that back in time. You know, he is very conscious of what's in the contract. So you know, by the end of the show, we know that he has done his due diligence. There's insurance, you know. He also has arranged for all the little incidentals to be covered in riders. So, you know, any transportation, it's covered. So he is actually like, he knows something.
Yeah, I guess I just don't like how he looks. Check in the scene. Did she say anything? It seemed like the whole time she was just kind of like for a second, I was like, is she there for real?
She was the woman in the bed?
Yeah. Like, did she ever speak?
No, he asked her if she knew English and
she just went,
shrugged. Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering. I was just curious.
Yeah, she shrugged. So then, okay. He leaves the hotel. He goes to the airport. I mean, do you want to discuss the pants dropping? What?
that to me was just like a typical thing for this show, where it's just like Earn is always just in these situations that like he sort of can't win. Like, he's like, I don't have my underwear, you know, my belt, and the guy is just like, and I can't let you go without such and such. It's like neither one of them are gonna budge. So he's like, all right. But what kind of put the cherry on it, if that's what you want to say, it's like when he told him to turn around. So it's like, not only do I have to do this way, but I have to turn around. It's like, I don't know, to just see, like, I don't know what Earn looks like, what he's working with. There's never been an episode dedicated to anybody being overly pleased or disappointed. So don't know. But it's like, that had to be humiliating. But what I noticed was that no one seemed to notice. I looked, and I don't think anybody even looked up, or maybe it was like, oh yeah, this always happens. Like, no one, like, I feel like if they were in America, there would have been like, oh my God. But there it was like, ah, yes, when you forget your underwear and belt, he must have been at so-and-so's house. Like, Earn is always in those situations where it's like, he's at the mercy of somebody else, kind of. Like, not as much as in past seasons, but still.
I don't think nudity is as big a deal in Europe as it is out here.
It isn't.
So it's like, okay, you see some, you know, genitalia at the airport. All right.
I think I think there'd be some sort of like blackface tie-in to like, you know, like, oh, Santa Claus. Like,
oh no, that's terrible.
He turns around and he's got like a mask on it or something like that. Just, you know, I didn't know if it was going to be like, okay, now we're going to talk about the ways in which the black body is blah, blah, blah. But it was really just like, yeah, dicks, we don't care. Like they have dicks in their ice cream commercials. It's not, I can't prove that, but I've seen those, the world's raciest commercials, and it'll be like a commercial for shoestrings. And for some reason, just full dick and balls. Go Amsterdam.
Darius goes and picks up Van, and they have, I mean, they hang out together, which I imagine is for the first time.
I think it was, because they were acting not strange with each other, but they had an exchange that shows you like, yeah, they don't really hang out. Like there's always, you know, like she knows Al better than she knows Darius, or if she's ever been with Darius, Ern is probably there, you know, because it was very like, it almost seemed like they realized they also hadn't hung out alone, but she's kind of random herself and it kind of fit after a while. Like she definitely seems to be more lucid than Darius is, but not by a whole lot more, because Van seems to be in this place that to me is extended from when she messed up her little pee-pee balloon. And it seems like ever since then, you know, like having that interaction with her friend about like knowing your worth and then maybe questioning like, what am I doing? You know, do I want to teach? Am I happy about this? If I feel like this could have taken place soon after that, because it seems to me like since that time, maybe Van is not so sure about what she wants to do. You know how you're on a path and you think like, this is the thing. And then, you know, it takes something happening to where you're like, what do I want to do? And she seems to be in that space where she is sort of just floating around. And this is like the perfect spot to have that floaty time and the perfect person. But I think that they kind of, I wouldn't mind seeing more with just the two of them.
It would be good to see them together and hopefully, because it's like, what else are they going to do? They're not performers, you know? But again, like just going back to like, how close were they? I don't think Darius really knew anything about the nature of hers and Van's relationship, because he asked if they're going to have another kid together. And then yeah, she's like
he thinks that they're happy. She's like, I got a boyfriend.
Yeah. And I'm like, who is her boyfriend? That's what I want to know. Because I, like, he asked, where's Lottie? I was thinking, like, where's Lottie? You know, of course, with the parents. Uh-huh. But who's the boyfriend? Is he going to come out to Europe too?
Yeah, which would be really, really odd. But I don't think it's strange that Darius doesn't know, because when you think about it, Darius isn't somebody who's pressed to really know what's happening with anybody. He really does stay in his life. And then, like, we know Darius because of Alfred. Like, he's not Ern, well, from the beginning, he wasn't Ern's friend. Whereas Ern and Al are related. He's been with Van for a long time, so she knows him, but Darius has always been sort of in the background. So I guess Darius is like, obviously he's seen Ern, like, you know, getting all this no speak English tale, but he's still just like, I don't know their lives. Like they have one kid, maybe they'll have another, you know, but I don't think it's strange that he wouldn't know she has a boyfriend, because I doubt that they're all hanging together. Yeah. I'm curious to know if, like, because we know that she's from Helen. We've never seen Van's parents, like, locally. We've seen Ern's as far as keeping the baby. And it makes me wonder if, because, like, didn't she, in the episode of Helen, like, that's where she's from. Did she make mention of, like, that's where her parents live? Because I almost wondered, like, is her boyfriend going to be, like, a white guy or something? Or, like, somebody that's, like, from that, you know what I mean? Like, from that area. Like, she's already alluded to her background. They bought some of the actress's real, like, real life details about herself into the character. So I was curious.
I don't know that she said that their parents were, I know she has the German background. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know necessarily that her parents were from Helen. I think that was an activity they just did in Helen often.
I don't know why I thought she said, okay, so like she traveled there with her parents a lot, right? It was something like that, right?
She traveled. She knows German, correct? I thought she knows German. She was there for what's it called? Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that Bavarian festival or whatever it was. And then she says in this episode, you know, that she used to travel back and forth to Europe all the time. Like after they come from that vintage store, that reminded me of that vintage store in LA that we spent hours at. Yeah.
Sixpence in my pocket.
I only had sixpence in my wallet.
So much time in that place and nobody kicked us out. They probably thought that we were actresses. People probably come in there every week and like do scene work. They're probably like, these numbnuts are trying to make it. Like nobody told us to get out. It was awesome. It was really awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious to see the boyfriend. I hope he comes up some kind of way. But I liked them together. You know, it was just nice and random. I have to say, I wasn't crazy about the episode, though. Like, in general, I wasn't. And I don't know if it was because I was watching that and thinking about the other episode.
Yeah, the other episode left. I don't know if it had that effect on all viewers. But, yeah, I was kind of damaged by that first episode, you know. So I couldn't just let this one breathe on its own the way that I want it to, the way that the others. I did take notice of things. So, okay. So she goes to the vintage store. Darius urges her to follow the address she finds in that pocket of that jacket, which I actually like the jacket a lot. I thought it was cute. And then I like how, okay. Meanwhile, Ernest handling business. You know, I already discussed this earlier. We see that he's on his management game, you know, making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens? The vintage store happens after that. I'm not sure how he could smell gasoline on her coat and she couldn't on that first coat she tried on.
Yeah, it's gasoline. Like, once you smell it, it's like it's in your pores for the rest of your life. Or it's in your nasal passage. It's all you can smell. It's like bleach. Like all of a sudden it's like, I am bleach. Like you can't get away from it. So that was strange. I was like, did maybe Van had COVID? Because if gasoline were to be on me right now, I also would not smell it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, I still. And when I do smell, it's not real. I can't trust what I'm smelling. It's like, that is a chocolate cake. Why do I smell dirt? It's just all wrong. Oh, it's been horrible. But anyway, so I just chalked it up to like, all right, topical. Van has COVID. She has long COVID. Okay. So Van has COVID.
So hilarious.
Yeah. This episode felt dreamy to me too, sort of. It just felt random.
I wouldn't say that I felt that way about it. It, again, just like next to episode one, yeah, it was jarring. That was jarring. So it kind of detracted from fully enjoying this one. So, but okay, again, I think it was an important part of like developing their characters and who they are, you know, since the last time we saw them. So we see that Paperboy is in jail. He's in a European jail. Shit looks like, it's so nice. It looks like, you know, like, yeah, it looks like one of those displays at IKEA. You know,
yeah.
Go and shop at IKEA. It looks like that.
Except, and he had a concierge. He had like basically a personal butler.
And yeah, it was very nice. He had a relationship
with him, you know? It was nothing like Streets Unlocked.
No, not at all. And then the crowd outside chanting Free Paperboy, you can see his little ego just expand it a few more inches.
Like, whenever a Black man is told that he cannot leave prison, he's like, no, let me get this nap in first. Like, that's good jail. But it made me wonder, so is this a situation where, like, is this celebrity jail there, or are all the jails like that?
From what I've heard, European jails are pretty pretty nice. Let's do a quick search. Netherland jails, because they're supposed to rehabilitate, not punish. Why are there so few prisoners in the Netherlands? So it's cutting, the Dutch justice system is cutting jail populations by offering special rehabilitation to people with mental illnesses. So they actually care about rehabilitating people and getting to the bottom of why people are committing crimes. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas the American attitude is like, yeah, lock them up and throw away the key. They're no good. They're drags mm-hmm. on society. Plus, we need to be able to exploit them.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Dutch are not doing that. Since 2014, 23 prisons have been shut, turning into temporary asylum centers, housing, and hotels. The country has Europe's third lowest incarceration rate at 54.4 per 100,000 inhabitants. The number of prison sentences in Poland fell from 42,000 in 2008 to 31,000 in 2018, along with a two-thirds drop in jail terms for young offenders. Registered crimes plummeted by 40% in the same period.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, they have a different approach. And, you know, did it look like the streets were crime ridden? You know, marijuana is legal. Did it look like the streets were crime ridden? You know,
it's like the desperation and the urgency out of like trying to obtain certain things, because if you can just have it, well, there's no reason to like be shanking folks over things that you can just get. Like, why is, I don't feel like having that discussion, just how America is just, it's the worst. It's the worst. They do everything wrong. Everything.
Okay. I'm proud to be an American.
Which is supposed to be like, America, fuck yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. No. Okay.
All right, so Earn comes and picks Alfred up. Mm-hmm. He sneezes. Everybody says Gesundheit. The dude insists on taking his snotty tissue. Like, give it to me.
Never leave your snotty tissue.
I was like, validation. Yes. Yeah, but you would not take my snotty tissue and put it in your own pocket the way this guy did.
No, but it would make a great second verse if I did.
Earn gets Alfred out of jail. Alfred asks, oh, did you get what I asked for? Mm-hmm. And he's like, actually, bail was pretty cheap, you know, so this is more than you needed. So he takes the money and throws it at his adoring fans. And
that hurt me.
It hurt you.
I was like, no, keep that money. You don't know what's going to happen. Your star could fall at any moment. Just out of that practical, like, that's what you needed that money for? Just throw it to the fans. Did they mention how much bail was?
He didn't specifically say how much bail was, but like, he threw a lot of money and still had money left over to give to Earn. You know, he's getting in pictures with the fans and everything, mm-hmm. but then gathered out there in the rain for him, which has to be like just ego boosting, like you wouldn't believe.
Well, he's feeling good. I'm happy for him.
He looks good. His outfit looks amazing.
He looks healthy.
His hair, yeah, he's all lined up. Like, he looks really good. They see a Santa Claus and then this little black-faced child riding on the back. And they're like, what the fuck is that? So I was wondering, like, how much do they know about all these places that they're visiting? Probably not that much. You know, they asked the guy, what the hell is that about? They're like, oh, it's Santa Claus. She's like, oh, that's Schwartz Peter or...
Yeah,
Pete. And he's like, oh, well, Ash is, he fell down the chimney.
He's actually dark, basically because of the soot, like he's covered in soot.
Yeah, so Black Pete's distributes sweets and pepperoten, those sugar and spice cookies to the crowds of children. And they say, oh, he's not an actual Black figure, but okay, so then what's with the curly wigs? Why does he have a certain type of hair? And why are his lips red?
Oh, it was the soot. Like, yeah, this isn't tracking anymore.
The soot turned his hair curly?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's nigger soot. Which sounds like a Dutch word.
No,
suit. You never heard of nigger suit? Nigger suit.
It sounds like a holiday.
Man, these people just like, what would these people do if they didn't have Black people to just like, this isn't even really like copying or glorifying. It's just like, they've got to turn us into a thing or just something to just be like
a little mascot.
It's just something. Yeah. Like, look at my little nigger. Like, it's always just, y'all don't have anything else that you can do. Like, so like how this devolved from somebody falling into soot to just being a Black person. It's like, yeah, one of those things is a lie. Whether you just said it's somebody that fell into soot or you had some Black person that was some of your little chimney slave is what it sounds like. like, oh, he lives in the chimneys. Oh, and then he distributes cookies. It's like, nah, that just sounds like a series of somebody backtracking. Like, if you put all those things together, it sounds like when you catch somebody in the lie, they're like, yo, you know, because it was a soot. I mean, it was white. I mean, it's nigger soot. No, not nigger soot. It's a Dutch word. It just all sounds like bullshit. Like, y'all took all this backtracking became lore. And it's just a lie. Just say we want to make fun of niggas. And we want to put on blackface because we don't know what we'd do if we were not able to just put blackface on and then act like, what? Like that.
So a paper by the Ferry State University for the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia points to the duality inherent in the relationship between Santa Claus and Black people, respectively represented as a white saint and a Black servant, a civilized wise master and a wild, childish, irrational subordinate. With this in mind, a section of Dutch society has been protesting since the 1970s against what they see as an outdated relic from a colonial past unfit for a multicultural society. Efforts were made to give the figure blue, red, or green faces, which proved to be unsuccessful. An activist group, Black Peter's Racism, was faced with the arrest of one of their members in last year's celebrations when they attended the arrival of Santa Claus in stenciled Black Peter's Racism t-shirts. The anti-Black Pete feeling seems to be growing in recent years, as Euro News reported that the number of complaints to the Anti-Discrimination Bureau has soared from 1 or 2 to more than 100. So the counter argument protecting the custom is backed up by the aims to keep a tradition alive, which brings joy to countless children today, as it did to their parents and grandparents before that. In attacking it, it is the critics of the holiday who make it racist by being oversensitive about a mythical character whose Black skin is really just the result of him going down our chimneys on the eve of St. Nicholas Day. Black Pete's evolution into a clown character has also meant that he is now a beloved figure rather than a menacing one, being his name that children excitedly chant as Santa Claus's steamboat approaches the harbor. Okay. Well, your face just said it all. So then we go back to Van and Darius in the van. Or before that, they show up at this address. Somebody, this white woman, comes out dressed in white. She's like, oh, are you the driver? No, that's the photographer. I love how Van just goes right with the flow. Like, I love that. I can hang with Van.
Yep. She just kind of just, it's that confidence. Like, oh, yeah, no, come on. Let's go. And it proved, I mean, that was interesting. If she hadn't done that, I mean, that was an experience. It wasn't, I didn't like how it ended, but that's an experience that you had that you would not, like, you wouldn't have stumbled upon that group of people if you'd been like, no, I'm sorry, it's been a misunderstanding. Okay, bye. You know,
yeah.
That was an adventure. And of course, Darius was with you because that is the kind of thing that happens when you hang with Darius, or maybe even just hang with Van. I think Van and Darius are kindred spirits when it just comes to floating. Did you understand right away, like when we go inside of the apartment or whatever it was, what was happening, like that it was something, that it was that kind of event, that maybe something sad? I thought it was just like a quiet party. I was like, is this a party? Like, what is happening?
It reminded me of, so in New Orleans, was it on Esplanade? On Esplanade, at one point there was the Hare Krishna house. And so it just reminded me of that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, are these kind of like Dutch Hare Krishna? What's going on? But then as you go on and you see that it's an assisted suicide ceremony, like, Oh, okay. I guess, you know, their acceptance of assisted suicide has developed into a thing where, you know, they make it into an event.
It's an event. Yeah. Yeah. Like, come die with me. Like, just like, okay, everybody wear white and, you know. Well,
I can't remember who I was talking to, but, you know, when you're born, you don't come in. There's a team there when you're born. You know, the doctors, the nurses, if you're born in a hospital, if you're born at home, there's a midwife, you know, there's mm-hmm. family there and everything. So you don't come into the world alone. Why should you leave alone? So it seems like an actual very ordinary thing to do. Yeah, but we just don't do it here in America. Like, you know, all kinds of people be dying by
We kind of do it it depends on the circumstances. If it's a thing where you're on your deathbed, like everybody, like you kind of know, like this person's terminal. And I mean, I know that lots of people in America have been in a situation where get to the hospital because it's like it's going to happen. And like pre-COVID where you could gather in the hospital, you know, room, like the very, very close members of the family, the inner circle, whatever it may be. And you can kind of like that person makes the choice. Like I am letting go. Like I'm ready, you know, like maybe I'm in pain. Maybe I'm not in pain. I'm just ready to go. I think that it happens here. If it's terminal, like if you're able to, I don't know that. I don't think it's a practice where it's like, this is a thing that I'm doing. Before you're dead. I mean, there's the funeral, but you know, it's usually like, oh my God, they died. Like, you know?
Yeah. There aren't farewell ceremonies. Okay. So physician assisted suicide is legal in the Netherlands, but must be done under strict rules. So about 3% of all deaths in the country are reported as involving physician assistance. The actual number is believed to be higher. So when I read that, and then I remember that conversation that Van was having with the death doula, where she asked, she's like, is he dying? And she doesn't say yes. She says he will be going very soon.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
Does he want to do this?
But before that we learned that, well, Darius says that it's Tupac, and then we look at they show like the bottom half of his face and it does look like Tupac.
And it looked like a bigger Tupac, which would make sense. It's been 20 years, so like I mean he was a little dude, but like even he would have put on a little bit of like a little double chin, because it looked like, oh, that's Tupac, you know, and his kids are in college. like it was all very, you know, and when Darius said that, he didn't say that before they got in there, right? Like he said that looks like Tupac, but he was looking at it from afar and then he went over there, right?
Yeah, he said it looks like Tupac, and then I think he said, I know it. And Van said, how high are you right now?
Yeah, right. But it tracks that Darius would be somebody that would talk to you as if like, of course Tupac is alive, like with no irony, like none. Like he didn't say like, oh, it's true. He was just like, oh yeah. In my message board, they've been saying for years that he's here. So yes, this.
So there's an Illuminati article that I found online. There's a video. It's on this weird site. It looks like a conspiracy theorist site. I don't know.
Is it Vigilant Citizen?
No, it's Huzzlers, H-U-Z-L-E-R-S. I've never heard of this site before until I just Googled.
Like they wanted to use Hustler, but didn't know that that was already a thing.
Or maybe because people misspell Hustler all the time because they don't know how to spell. So they're like, hey, you're going to get here one way or another. Right. The report is about Tupac having a secret performance for the Bilderberg group, the Illuminati.
The Bilderberg, them's the one.
So he flew out to the Netherlands on December 31st of some year. Is this 2014? Yeah, I think it's 2014. And he performed. But then there's this YouTube video about Tupac being in the Netherlands, but it's just been produced by like these Dutch kids. And they literally have one of the Dutch kids has cut out Tupac's face from a large printout, and he just has that over his face. And he runs around throughout the video with a gun at one point, kind of just interacting with these other kids.
Like a crazy Santa Claus.
Yeah, like a crazy Santa Claus. And then they play like hip hop type music, never his music or whatever. They don't break any laws, but, you know, it's just like a teenage production.
But it's always like, do you see what I mean about like, it's always like, I'm going to be this thing. Like when it comes to Black people, like he cut out Tupac's face and he's running around, but it's almost like a garden gnome come to life, or like a lawn jockey. It's, I'm not finding a word that satisfies me, but it's always like, here's a little nigger. Like, it's just like, we're people. Like, it's always turned into like this little thing. And
We kind of like ideas to play with instead of being actual humans.
And now a message from an exclusive Rappin' Atlanta sponsor.
Have you ever come across an ad for a meal kit delivery service and thought, yeah, that sounds good and all, but I don't want to do shit? That's where Stockpot comes in. With its tantalizing selection of items, Stockpot allows you to mix and match entrees, sides, and desserts to your heart's content. And while all ingredients have been carefully measured and packaged, that ain't any of your never mind, because Stockpot does it all. Here's how it works. Step 1. Place your order at our secure website, where we're always sure to plan your meals with all your dietary, allergy, religious, and political considerations. Remember Freedom Fries? Step 2. Receive your Stockpot package delivery. Step 3. Open the Stockpot box in your kitchen and then leave immediately, and do not return to your kitchen or dining room for at least 30 minutes. Step 4. Return to your dining room and enjoy. Still on the fence? Let's listen to what just a few of our satisfied customers have to say. I took out half my braids, and when I came back in the kitchen, Stockpot was done.
My wife and I argued violently the entire time, and then enjoyed a fabulous dinner.
I spent 30 minutes in my prayer and devotional room, and when I came out, Stockpot had prepared the most wonderful peach cobbler. Now you tell me we don't serve an awesome God. There you have it. Stockpot is doing the damn thing. Visit Stockpot.com and enter the promo code RAPPINATL, and your first delivery is free. That's RAPPINATL. Stockpot, you ain't gotta do shit.
Van talks about her life experiences, you know, a little bit. She wanted this job, she didn't get it. Or did she say that at the... I don't know, but she's in a place. She's in a weird place in her life right now.
I feel like they may have been, were they in the thrift store? I feel like they were somewhere else when she said that.
She reveals a lot about what she's thinking inside, although she isn't actually saying what's been happening all this time. But you know, we understand her frame of mind. She doesn't know where to go.
She's lost. She's a little lost right now.
Yeah, and then she's probably questions like, okay, she was previously cynical about Earn pursuing this whole music management thing, and it's paying off. So it seems like she's second guessing, like, well, I thought, you know, my career was going to pay off. It didn't, you know,
doing anything that is outside of the, I know what's going to happen, like for the next couple of months, that is scary. And to do that, you have to be a little crazy. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to have some courage. And I don't fault Van for not going that way, because having a baby will take you out of that space really quickly. If you care anything about that child, does not care what your deep, dark dream is. Like, they need fruit snacks and diapers, and they need it on the regular. And, you know, I'm not going to be a deadbeat. So I don't fault her for that, but I'm more than sure now she is second guessing, like, well, maybe I should have gone for my, we don't know what that is. We don't know enough about Van to know, like, maybe she's really good at something else that is not the typical thing that you can major in and turn that into a paycheck. So she may even kind of feel like, you know, she's eating her words. But to her credit, she was upset with Earn, rightfully so sometimes, but I never saw her saying like, you're never gonna be shit. Like, it was always with the right now, like, I get all this, But also my landlord doesn't care. You know, like, yeah. I understand like what you're trying to do, but Lottie, like, I never, you know, they never painted her in the way of like, hey, what you talking manager? He ain't never going to be like, just that person that, you know, like you are eating your words now. So I think that she was being practical because somebody has to be. When as a child involved, you can't both be dreamers, because when you are, that never ends well. You know, that child is damaged. Somebody's got to have their feet on the ground and their head not in the clouds. So maybe she feels like she's behind, like she should be further along, you know, like Earn has money now, you know, they're in a much different place. She had to light a fire under his ass. It caused him to make moves. You know, like when he did the thing that he did to get the song played on the radio, that was like after an intense, like, I need you to do something, you know? And he did what he needed to do and lived out of a storage unit for a while so that all the money could go to her. So, you know,
she was letting him stay there. You know, he was choosing to stay in that storage unit. She bailed him out of jail. You know, she gave him rides when he needed them and all that. But when he got his first big payday, the first thing he did was, you know, go spend it with her as well. So.
Yeah, that relationship is real. It isn't perfect, you know, but it's real. It's like we have a connection.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll never be like together, but they have each other's back, like when it really, really counts, as they should. Like, you share a child and you're a child. You don't have to be married for your child to know that you have love for each other and you have love for them. You know, you don't have to be in the same house, because if they were in the same house, Lottie's life probably wouldn't even be as good as it could be if you have two happy separate parents.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So we go back to Earn and Alfred. They're getting back to the hotel. There's black-faced Dutch people everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And then they have kind of like a flashback of what happened to Alfred for him to end up in jail. I still don't know why he had to go to jail, especially since those two broads were sitting there in the lobby, you know, and yeah. Looking at him like that, like they, like he had violated them somehow.
Exactly.
And so I don't know. Is prostitution legal in the Netherlands? I don't know.
I thought it was. Isn't that the place where they like advertise in the window?
Is it?
I thought it was. I could be generalizing. Maybe it's not that specific place, but I could have sworn it was like, hey, you know, we're having a fire sale.
Right. Okay, prostitution is legal in the Netherlands as long as it involves sex between consenting adults. So I don't know if they belong to the hotel, like their hotel hoes. They're the hoes that are stationed there at that hotel. But them fighting, and it was like a racially charged argument.
Which I thought was brilliant. I like how in the middle of, like, you know, we're about to do some whole shit. Like, first of all, like, she was still getting her together. I was like, okay, that's when you like really friends with a white girl. It's obviously like not one of those friendships where it's like, we're not really friends. She'd be saying crazy stuff, but I don't care enough about her to correct her. Like, she's like, no, you need to stop saying that. And it sounded like there's history there. Like, this bitch is always saying this. She's finally like, hold on, before we do this, you need to know. I was like, all right, Gen Z, like, there's always time to have a Twitter rant. I'm about to take this dick, but first.
And they tore up, like, they threw chairs out of the, I mean, they tore this hotel room up, like, it's jacked up. And then, so Earn sits down to call about the missing laptop, and a mate comes in blackface. And, yeah.
That felt unsafe. I would not feel safe. Like, I know I sound like a true Karen, but if I look up and everybody's turning towards me, I would be pinching the hell out of myself. Like, no, this is one of those dreams that I have to get out of now. Like, it isn't safe. But I mean, of course, Al gets blamed for it, I guess, because he's a celebrity and then he's an American celebrity. So like this big, bad brutish Santa Claus is the one that tore up the room. Then he gets out of jail and spreads cheer to all the fans but not cookies. He's like tossing cash. Like this whole episode, it just bothered me. It was just weird and random. And I felt like Lucarius is going to show up at any moment.
So maybe you don't want to visit Amsterdam one day or?
Nope.
Okay.
I kind of do. Yeah. But not during that time when this blackface shit is happening.
No, I don't want to go during any winter months. It needs to be very warm there. And I want to go during their summer if I have to go, because I don't like being cold.
Yeah. I want to go, but like, I need to have a guide. Because me by myself, I'd be like, I'm going to Paris. Bye. Yeah.
So, okay. One thing that I forgot is that the first time we see them at the assisted suicide, Darius actually goes up to the bed and says, I love your songs. So I really think this is actually Tupac. Because there was no like...
Yeah. Yeah.
After the hotel, we go back to the assisted suicide again, and Van volunteers to be bedside. It's this beautiful moment. You're okay. Everything's okay. And then that plastic drops and we watch Tupac be smothered. And the way that everybody's just standing there just watching it, you know, there's no look of horror or anything like that.
Except on his face.
Yes, it looked on Van's face, yes. And then Darius, yeah, he was definitely disturbed. And it felt very Rosemary's Baby, very like
I saw that.
The Exorcist and those type movies where the cult is just standing there, like it felt like a sacrifice. So again, like, was he really dying? Did he need to die? And the way that he struggled, like, you know, he was fighting to live. It didn't look like, you know, he's trying to stay still and let it take over him, which that's the way that if I had to do an assisted suicide, I don't think I would fight like that.
But I don't think it's involuntary. Like from what I've read, when that happens, your arms are doing what they're supposed to do. Like, obliterate the threat. I don't know that you could keep your arms down unless you were heavily drugged or they were tied down. Like, I think it's an instinctive thing.
Think about like those people who walk into the sea to kill themselves. And I'm just like, okay, so you're just going to keep walking until you drown and you do that peacefully? Or is that...
If you don't know how to swim like me, yeah, probably. I don't know how to swim anyway. I'm just going to lie down and let it
go. You're just going to peacefully... They commit suicide in the water. That's what I was thinking about. Like, why not? If this is what he wanted, then why not do it that way? I don't know.
Like, I have to get proof to back him up. But I think that's why when people are being executed, not that they want it, but there's a reason why everything is tied down, because you are going to try to save yourself, whether you, your soul, spirit, whatever is trying to or not. Your body is made to not be off. Like it wants, yeah. It wants to live. Like instinctively, you know, it's going to go there.
So Tupac finishes dying, and then they play Hail Mary, dude. Ding.
And then I thought, oh, the Illuminati all through your body. It's like, oh, yeah. He says that. Man, I don't know. Stephen Glover, what do you know?
Yeah, y'all keep writing this stuff that, oh.
I mean, yeah. Really, he's just really like finding the same stuff that you know, he may be a conspiracy theorist, who knows, but I think it's very clever and very telling that this isn't like, oh, he made this completely up. No, you were able to locate a video. Yes, it's obscure. Yes, it's random. But if you were to like we look at crazy stuff all the time. We talk about the most random things. It would be just like us, just like, what if, blah, blah, blah. And then you find something that's like, oh, that almost kind of backs it up. We can write something on it.
Yeah.
You know, so those cats are on another plane. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, no, I really do believe that.
Like, I was there. Like, maybe Steven is Darius. I don't know. Because so, it's like, as strange as it is, it some kind of way rings true.
Yeah. So we get back to the concert, and then Alfred looks out to the crowd and sees just a crowd full of people in blackface with these Afro wigs. It's like the blackface wasn't enough. They take it a step further with the Afro wigs. So he's just like, fuck this, I'm not doing this. Ern looks exacerbated, but it's just like, okay, he has done his due diligence. This, you know, is covered.
That's what the insurance contract is for. Yep.
Yes. This is what insurance is for. But your boy trips the hell out. You played me? You played me? I'm going to have to destroy you. And I was taken back to that previous episode where I'm going to make it my mission that you die broke. You know, this. I guess, do managers get all kinds of threats like that? I don't know. Just
it just reminded me of like that uneasy alliance that you have with like any white person that you know, even just a little bit, whether it's like you work with them or like you work in the same department, or sometimes you have to collaborate on things, and the relationship is, it's easy enough, or it's civil enough, but you're not friends, you're not even acquaintances. And you know, like it's the way that I now feel that like a lot of my my interactions and dealings with white people are now, where it's like, yeah, it's just enough to like get through the day without anybody going to jail or like seeing something too crazy, but just under the surface, this is what's there. Like, I just feel like when he started to say that, that's the mask that's barely on them, that they really do feel. And it just, it all folds together nicely to me with just like the Santa Claus lore and like just how they can like flip, like when you don't fit into like what they, the way they think that you should act, then it switches real quick. And it's like that, this is your real thing. I thought about the same thing, like the woman and how she just kind of switched. Like, we already knew that her, like it was fake, but it's always right there. You know, and it's always the ones that, it's not the rednecks and the hooded people where the shit is already there and like they never hide it and it's right there. It's the ones that are like, no, like we said, like liberals are the worst. Or like even people who are like, oh, hey, paperboy, the tour thing, like we're bros, like we're cool, you know, we're in the music biz and everything's great. But you could see like at certain instances how he really felt when Ern was like, yeah, I'm gonna need this money. Then he was like, I also need the money for the cab. You could see just that thing of like, you're going too far, or like, don't get too comfortable. Like whenever a black person is comfortable in their skin, they hate that shit. That is what throws white people off. When a black person acts like they are supposed to be where they are, and that they have a right to be where they are, that's when the mask comes off. Or just even just the paper bag, because it's not even really that like, oh my God, I'm so surprised. It's always there. And that's what I'm finding. That's my uplifting thought of the day about race relations. Shit did not surprise me.
Well, he has a little tantrum in front of Ern, and Ern just casually closes the door behind him and leaves. Now, this is where I was like, okay, all these people in blackface paid off, because he is able to slip through the crowd. And the guy just randomly picks who he thinks is Ern. It's a white guy in blackface. He beats the shit out of him anyway and calls him Ern. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he needed to get that rage out some kind of way.
And also just that facial blindness. Like, you probably really did think that.
Oh, no. I hope not.
Not really, but I mean, I think it was kind of a nod to that. It's kind of like they just threw in all of the things. Like, I don't think that it's a coincidence that every major thing that happened in both of these episodes, there's kind of like, whether that's what it was or not, there's a reference. Like, there is a link to something that is a real thing.
So Ern comes back to the hotel, and it's 4 a.m. We know this because he asked Van why she's getting ice at 4 a.m. And I'm wondering, is somebody in her room? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why, why didn't they go? Like, why is she going down the hall in towel and a head wrap to get ice? Mm-hmm. So,
it is daring. That would be funny.
I thought about that too.
Like, I had that thought, like, ooh, but that's not, I don't, they're not that kind of show. Because then it's like, this is fully a soap opera now. Like, this is now dynasty. Everybody's going to be slapping each other.
Yes, more slaps. This is the post-slap reality we live in now.
Oh, God.
So many slaps. But Ern looks genuinely pleased to see Van, like she's home. She represents home. Mm-hmm. He goes in and lays down on the bed for 5 minutes, and he gets a text from Alfred that he's hungry and he needs 300 chicken legs.
Like, they go, what? Oh, man, you're a babysitter. You are a babysitter now. But yeah. That's the manager life.
Yeah, he's working. That's what they do.
You think he's going to get tired of it?
Unless he learns to delegate or whatnot, probably. I think as Alfred's ego continues to grow, because he's just requesting 300 chicken legs out of the blue. Get this for me. Get that for me. You know, I don't know. I don't see why he wouldn't. And like, was he justified in not performing at that concert? Yeah, I definitely would not have performed. But at the same time, like, how many other concerts has he been like, nah, I'm not doing that. You know?
Right. Like, what is the balance there? And like, does he feel like, does he realize that there's kind of a cap on that before you get a rep and no one's going to want to go into any sort of like binding contract? I think I at least would have said, not with this, like this, you know, like to at least sort of give some reasons why, because stories get told. And if it just looks like, yeah, I was tired, like I ain't feel like it, you know, I was dehydrated, you know, like you have to save those things for when something really is wrong and like you legit need to pull out, because performers are human. And there are sometimes like when your body is just like, no. I think that he should have put that out there. Like in this age of social media, I was really surprised that there was no like putting out some sort of thing to get out ahead of angry fans saying like, look at what so-and-so did. Because people, you're going to side with the folks with no money that like spent their money on tickets. So I was kind of surprised. I mean, it maybe isn't that kind of show, but I was surprised that there wasn't, at least in the background, something that they're so good at, like having little things happen in the background that we're putting out a statement, or like, you know, whoever tweets for him, you know, just like, man, this Santa Claus stuff is bullshit. And maybe like having a picture of it. And then so that people could at least be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you even read in something just now that folks have been protesting was, and as usual, the That's So Atlanta is a lot of times something that's just universal. Black people, but also just rappers, period. Him just tossing that money was just like, when you think of Atlanta, you think of rappers of varying levels of success, but everybody's stunting, you know, just the money, the stacks. It could easily have been like ass cheeks that he was throwing the money at, you know, like at Magic City. It's just a nigga throwing money as if he doesn't need it is Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah. I'll agree that. My Dariusism, this show was chock full of them. But when he said, this city is my Jesus, you know, Van was asking them, no, Ern was asking them, like, what's going on? Like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm sitting here high as a kite, the city is my Jesus.
Yeah, like, that's where he found his rest. Like, he rests in the Lord, he can just rest. Won't he do it? My favorite thing, my favorite end, it's like, I love it and I hate it that Darius just like, well, it's destiny. Like, I just love how he's like, I have no control over anything. And I just want to yell, you actually do. You don't have to do that. You made this up. But when Van has the coat and the address is there and he's like, no, you got to do it. It's destiny. Just the way he's so committed to that. Like, yep, I might die, but it's destiny. So
it's very much his personal brand. Mystical Element. Tupac still being alive in the Netherlands.
Everybody just being cool with it. Yeah. Same thing. Same for me. Just mystical, but then also just like, yeah, I also just read about this on a random website that I bumped into. So like mystical, but real life. And a lot of people really do subscribe to this. To where, I don't know, I think they're convincing me.
That Tupac is still a liar?
Yeah, I think he might be. Because, I mean, Trump was also our president. Like, lots of other things are happening to where I just believe, like, I go back on things that I thought was just, like, ludicrous. And I'm like, yeah, Tupac's alive. Yeah.
Will Smith slapped the hell out of Chris Rock on
Sunday. Yeah, like, shit is happening to where I'm like, the world is, it's going to be ending.
Soon.
Yeah, but soon as in like in the next 100 years. Like people say soon, it's not in our time, but like something major is happening. Yeah, like Will Smith really did just go up there and like that really happened. So many things have happened like that. I feel like it's dumb for us to be like, no, I don't believe it. What do you mean you don't believe? Have you been paying attention?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So he's alive.
Really just happened. Okay. So shit got real. What was your SGR?
Tupac dying against his will, maybe? Or maybe not. Tupac dying and looking like the silhouette of a cartoon from like a Schoolhouse Rock. Or somebody's like, yeah, like chair. It was so frightening and everyone was horrified. I mean, well, no, everyone was not horrified.
So my SGR moment was when old dude beat Blackface Earn. Because he was really kicking his ass. You know, that dude probably needed to be hospitalized after that beating.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all that rage that's bubbling just under the surface.
All of that hot, racist rage. So, all right, that is our episode.
Thank you for watching. Rappin' Atlanta is recorded and produced by Nita Charisse and Nikki Ebro. Our theme music is Joy Clark's Galaxy Groove, performed by Joy Clark. Discover more about this talented artist at joyclarkmusic.com. Rappin' Atlanta's artwork is created by Prime Vice Studios. Learn more about this intellectual property development agency at primevice.com. You can find us on your favorite podcast player as well as YouTube. Don't forget to rate, comment, subscribe, and follow Rappin' Atlanta on Twitter and Instagram at Rappin' Atlanta.